Cornhill students here at St John's. And if you're joining us for the first time this evening, well, we're partway through our summer series in John's Gospel. 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus do the impossible. He gave sight to a man born blind. And now you might expect the Jewish leaders to be over the moon at this. The Messiah they've been waiting for is finally here. But instead, we saw last Sunday that they rejected Jesus as a fake Messiah. For most of chapter 9, they just flat out refused to believe that a miracle had even taken place. And then once they realized that they'd been proven wrong, they arrogantly said to Jesus, chapter 9, verse 40, "Are we also blind?" Well, tonight we're going to hear Jesus' reply to the Jewish leaders that have rejected him. But before we jump into that, let's pray once more for God's help. Father God, we thank you that you are a speaking God and that you do still speak to us today. And we pray that as we hear from John chapter 10, that you will reveal yourself to us and that you will change us through the words that we hear. Amen. Well, if your mum was anything like mine, you'll remember getting it drummed into you from a young age, never to talk to strangers. Mum used to say to me that if we're out somewhere and a stranger starts talking to you, don't listen to them, just start screaming as loud as you can. Well, fortunately, I managed to reach my teenage years with never having to scream in the face of a stranger. But then at the age of 13, on a dark night in December, my stranger danger skills were suddenly called upon. It was only my second time going along to a new youth group at a different church in an area that I didn't know. And my dad dropped me off, and then he drove away just as I noticed that the lights weren't on in the church hall. I tried the door, but the door was locked, so I just stood there on the pavement thinking about what to do next. And then a man in his 20s or 30s, sitting in a white VW Golf, starts talking to me. And he asks if I'm here for the church youth group, and I say I am. And then he says, "Jump in. They've gone carol singing. I'll take you there." Well, alarm bells immediately start going off in my head. "I'm not listening to you," I think. I didn't start screaming at him, but I did quickly turn around, walk down the street towards some shops. I didn't look back. And you might be thinking, what on earth has that story got to do with what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 10 about a sheepfold and a door? Well, whilst Jesus is using the language of sheep farming to make his point is all about who we should listen to and who we shouldn't, who we should follow and who we shouldn't. So to recap, Jesus is standing just outside the temple grounds. He's addressing the Jewish leaders and the crowds that have formed. And he begins in verses 1 to 5 by introducing three characters to them: the shepherd, the stranger, and the sheep. The shepherd is authorized to be in the sheepfold, so he enters by the door. He knows his sheep and he's got their best interests at heart. The stranger, well, he's not meant to be in the sheepfold at all, and he's not the shepherd of the sheep. So he jumps over the fence. He is a thief and a robber and a danger to the sheep. The sheep, they recognize the shepherd's voice and they follow him. But they don't recognize the voice of the stranger, so they flee from him. It's all fairly straightforward sheep farming stuff. But in verse 6, we see that the Jewish crowd, well, they don't understand. They're not stupid. They know all about sheep and shepherds, but they don't get Jesus' point. And can we blame them? I mean, Jesus' figure of speech here, it's not exactly the easiest thing in the world to get your head around. Maybe we should cut them a bit of slack. But these guys, they're the Jewish leaders. They should know their scriptures. They should know that the people of God are often referred to as a flock of sheep. And they should know Ezekiel 34 that Bea read out for us earlier. Verse 15, where God says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down. The Jewish leaders, they should be waiting for the shepherd Messiah to come, and it should be obvious that the very man speaking to them is him. If they were truly God's sheep, well, they'd recognize his voice, and they would follow him. But despite the fact that they claim to be able to see so clearly, they're blind. They don't see Jesus for who he really is, and they don't follow him. Well, John doesn't want the readers of his gospel to make the same mistake. And over the next 12 verses, we're given two reasons to follow Jesus over anyone and everyone else. And those are going to form our 2 points this evening. So firstly, verses 7 to 10. Follow Jesus, not anyone else, because Jesus is the only way into eternal life. Jesus is the only way into eternal life. So Jesus again said to them, verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. There's only one door into the sheepfold of God's people, and Jesus says, it's him. He's the door. It's likely that the proud Jewish leaders, well, perhaps they saw themselves as the door, or at least the gatekeepers. Don't forget what we saw last week. They've just kicked the man out of the synagogue, and they've shut the door behind him. But it certainly looks like they're the ones controlling the door. But Jesus says, no, I am the door of the sheep. Well, if Jesus is the door in the picture, then what does that make the Jewish leaders? If not the door, then surely the shepherd. They are the religious leaders, after all. But again, Jesus says, no, they're not the shepherd. The shepherd, he enters by the door. But as for the Jewish leaders, well, they've rejected Jesus, the door. They've got in by another way. They've jumped over the fence. So Jesus, in verse 8, exposes them for who they truly are. They are strangers. They are thieves and robbers. Verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Well, that certainly matches up with what we saw last week in chapter 9. Did the Jewish leaders act like shepherds or criminals with the man who was blind? They acted like criminals, right? They were harsh. They were rough. Not caring for God's sheep, but scattering them. And did the blind man listen when they said that Jesus isn't from God, or when they called Jesus a sinner? No, he ignored them. Because in verse 5, we see the stranger, he would not follow, for he did not know the voice of the stranger. Well, it's important that we feel the tension here. This isn't just some friendly chat between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. No, Jesus is saying to the crowds, these leaders of yours, they're thieves. They're not shepherds at all. Don't follow them. Follow me. I am the only way to God. Enter by me, verse 9. And be saved. Enter by me, verse 10, and have abundant life. They don't offer you life. They come only to steal and kill and destroy. And we have the very same choice to make. Who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? The man who was born blind, well, he's already made up his mind. He stopped following the Jewish leaders, and he's chosen to follow Jesus. And we know what John wants us to do. Chapter 20, verse 31, he wants us to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and so to have life in his name. Well, here in 21st century Tunbridge Wells, I doubt that many of us are following Jewish leaders who deny Jesus as the Messiah. But what about so-called Christian leaders who speak of Jesus, but a very different Jesus to the one we read about here in John's Gospel. A Jesus who's got some very interesting things to say to us, very interesting things. Even if all that stuff about him being God and rising from the dead, well, that was probably just added on later. A Jesus that we don't have to enter through or submit to or even listen to if we don't want to. Because we're free to choose whatever path to God we like the best. A Jesus who, above all, just wants us to be happy in this life. Well, the people preaching that Jesus, they might look and sound like shepherds, but if they haven't entered through the door, if they're not proclaiming Jesus as the only way in, well, Jesus says they're thieves who desire only to rob the shepherd of sheep and rob the sheep of life. Jesus says, don't listen to them. Don't follow them. Well, perhaps we don't really like the idea of following anyone at all. I'll just do my own thing, we think. I'll make up my own decisions. I'll lead myself. Well, I read an article this week, and it said that for the last couple of decades, the number one New Year's resolution has always been to lose weight. But this year, weight loss was pushed down to the number two spot. What's replaced it? Apparently being a better person. Although, of course, how you define what being a better person actually looks like, well, that's totally up to you. And I think the Pharisees would have liked that one. After all, they were the experts at how to be a better person. They had all their rules in place and they were ticking off all the boxes. You can just imagine them reaching the end of a year and smugly thinking to themselves, yeah, I've been a pretty good person this year. Much better than the rest of the riffraff around here. Well, the Pharisee in us says, I don't need a Messiah to save me. I'm fine as I am, or I can sort it out on my own. But Jesus says to us, you think you see? You're blind. You think you're leading yourself? You're lost. I am the only way into eternal life. I am the only door to salvation. Verse 8 again. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Anyone and everyone promising eternal life apart from Jesus is a total fraud, a thief, a stranger sitting in a white VW Golf. They might look like they know what they're talking about. They might even appear to be heading in the right direction. But God's true sheep see them for what they really are. And they flee from them to Jesus because they know that Jesus is the only way into eternal life. And secondly, verses 11 to 18. Follow Jesus, not anyone else, because Jesus is God himself come to rescue his sheep. Jesus is God himself come to rescue his sheep. Well, here we get our second I am statement from Jesus. We've had I am the door, and now verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear the words I am the good shepherd, I think in my head it gets translated into I am the nice shepherd or I am the kind shepherd. But Jesus isn't standing up here saying to the crowd, I am the nice shepherd. That's not what he's trying to do. Instead, I am the good shepherd is actually another reference back to Ezekiel 34, where God promised to judge the bad shepherds of Israel and then to become the shepherd himself. Ezekiel 34, verse 10, which is up on the screen. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord, Verse 11, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Verse 13, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. 14, I will feed them with good pasture. And verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. God had had enough of all the bad shepherding of his people by the Jewish leaders, so he promised to come himself to rescue and shepherd his flock. And here he is. He's standing before them, saying, I am the good shepherd. Jesus isn't saying, I am nice. He's saying, I am God. And then he goes on to show them that he's the better shepherd. He's even better than any shepherd they can imagine. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Well, Jesus is so much better than the hired hand, the caretaker shepherd. The hired hand sees the wolf coming and immediately runs off. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's just earning a bit of cash. He wants an easy shift. But Jesus, on the other hand, lays down his life for the sheep. Well, I'll admit at this point that I know absolutely zero about shepherding. But as I read those verses in the last few weeks, I couldn't stop thinking to myself, do shepherds actually lay down their life for their sheep? I can picture a shepherd trying to scare off a wolf. And I can picture a modern-day shepherd grabbing a shotgun and taking aim. But laying down his own life for his sheep. Well, perhaps what Jesus is saying here is not just that he's better than the hired hand, but that he's better than the best, most dedicated shepherd they can ever imagine. He cares for his sheep so much that he's happy to lay down his life for them. Verse 18. No one takes it from me. This isn't going to be some sort of tragic accident where the wolf unfortunately just gets the better of the shepherd. But I lay it down of my own accord. If you want to know what God is like, well, here it is. God cares so much for his sheep that he chooses to die so that we can live. And unlike a human shepherd, who'd be no good at all to his sheep if he did actually lay down his life for them, Jesus has the authority, verse 18, to lay it down and then to take it up again. He's saying, I'm not going to stay dead. I will return to lead you into abundant life. Of course, the Jewish crowd would have struggled to understand all of this, but we know it's not just talk. Jesus followed through on his promise. He died the death that we should have died, and he rose again 3 days later as the ultimate proof that he will deliver on his promise of life. And then finally, we see that Jesus' flock is bigger and better than anything the Jewish crowd might have imagined. Verse 16, Jesus says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This rescue mission that Jesus is on, it's not just for the Jewish nation, but for people of all nations. Jesus has got sheep outside of the Jewish fold, including you and me, if we recognize his voice and listen to him. And incredibly, he brings us, who were once not his sheep, into his flock, and he calls us his own. And he dies for us, so that we can have eternal life. Why on earth would you want to follow anyone else? What an amazing God we have. As Simon Peter, one of the disciples, said in John chapter 6, verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Well, 13-year-old Ben wasn't going to let a potential kidnap situation put him off from going to church, so I returned to the youth group at Emmanuel Wimbledon the first Friday evening in January. Dad dropped me off, as usual, and drove away, and this time I was pleased to see all the lights on and the door wide open. But who should greet me as I walk in? It's the man from the white VW Golf that I'd run away from just a few weeks earlier. Richard East was the Cornhill student at Emmanuel and also the leader of the youth group. He would have been there that very first week that I'd gone along. I probably even spoke to him because he actually ran the Bible study for the boys in my year that I ended up going to with Sam. But despite all that, when he called out to me from the car, I didn't recognize him for who he was. I felt so stupid. And once the story got out, it became a favorite amongst our group of friends, one of those stories that gets more and more exaggerated each time it's told. Well, the Jewish crowd, they make a similar mistake to me in verses 19 to 21, because they fail to recognize Jesus for who he really is. Verse 19. There's a division among them because of Jesus' words. Many said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Does Jesus have a demon or doesn't he? After everything he said to them, that's what they're talking about. And they can't make up their minds, so they begin to argue amongst themselves. But neither group recognizes Jesus as God. And as such, neither group decides to follow him. They choose not to accept his offer of life. Well, John doesn't want us to make the same mistake. He wrote his gospel account because he wants us to recognize Jesus for who he is. God himself come down to rescue us from death by laying down his life in our place. And he wants us to choose to follow him and him alone as our only way into eternal life with God.